When you hear the name M. Night Shyamalan, your mind probably goes to one of his movies, like this one.
I'm ready to communicate with you now.
Communicate?
Tell you my secrets.
What is it?
You know the accident up there?
Yeah.
Someone got hurt.
They did?
A lady. She died.
Oh my God, but you can see her?
Yes.
Where is she?
Standing next to my window.
And that is a clip from The Sixth Sense, written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. These days, he's got another passion, rebooting education in America and closing the achievement gap.
As co-founder of the M. Night Shyamalan Foundation, he got interested in exactly what the formula is for successful schools that empower their students. He writes about what he found in his new book.
M. Night Shyamalan joins us now to talk about that book. It's called I Got Schooled, the unlikely story of how a moonlighting movie maker learned the five keys to closing America's education gap. And Knight, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us, how did a successful filmmaker like you get drawn into the debate about public education in America?
Oh, you know what? I hope I'm not in the debate. You know, it's such a contentious field. It really is. It's a fascinating field. It was really just organic. It kind of started on a location scout for a movie where I was looking at local high schools in Philadelphia to shoot in. And there was one particular high school that really moved me because it was so dire, the situation with the metal detectors and the bars on the school rooms and the classrooms, and the theater was burnt down by, you know, suspicious situation, and the whole floor of the school was shut down because of rampant drug use and sex acts, and it was just a very dark thing, and these were kids. And then the next school we went and saw was beautiful, and it was just a few minutes away, and they're both public schools in Philly, and really it just started me wondering what the differences were and wanting to ask questions, and it was very organic. And then ultimately it turned into a 4.5-year research project with researchers that we hired through our foundation and me flying all over the country to talk with the experts and the people that had done the research to find out just what had been proven. With no, everybody's opinions put aside, you know, we all have opinions about how to raise our kids and other people's kids and how what's best for schools, but I really wanted to write a book that wasn't about opinion at all, that I had no opinion. In fact, that I was an outsider and had nothing to do with the field was a great advantage because I wasn't seen as an enemy on either side or any side, and got to just, I just wanted the answer to a few questions. One was, what has been proven, and is that enough to close the gap? And the answers came, and the answer to the second part was yes.
Well, you tell a story in the beginning of your book about your beginnings into this new passion area for you, education. And you have this philanthropic organization, the M. Night Shyamalan Foundation. And to start with, it sounds like you gave scholarships to underprivileged kids. And at one point, you had dinner with them. Can you tell us about that dinner and how it made you feel?
Yeah, you know, I guess when you have a foundation, the first thing you do is, you know, you think it'll be simple. You think, you know, people will come with wonderful causes and you'll write checks and everybody will benefit. And to some extent, I guess that's correct. But in another way, the money is never the thing. You know, the world needs human capital. And you realize that slowly when you write checks. And then you write the check and you think everything's going to be better. We have a dinner with all these kids that were the most worthy kids from the public schools in, you know, inner city Philadelphia to go to college. And so I wrote the checks and we had dinner with them. And I just knew in my gut after talking to them that they weren't ready. They weren't ready for what was ahead of them. And they were lost and weren't prepared for the world outside and didn't have the internal landscape that was necessary to believe in themselves. And you could feel that I wasn't helping. And yes, those were opportunities for those kids, and that was a wonderful thing for them. But they would have benefited more if more had been done on the other side before we had gotten to the table. And so really, it was necessity and a set going, okay, I need to put my time in. I need to go find out. Before I act, I want to learn. And, you know, spending the years learning, it was moving. I didn't realize it was going to be something that I would just keep on doing and doing, but you know, I was just inspired by what people had found. You know, it was a little bit of a puzzle, and I guess I'm very intrigued by puzzles, both in a fictional sense and in a literal sense. And this idea, when you go into the education field, it's so caustic, and everybody is so acrimonious, and one side screaming at the other, and then one saying, you have to do this, and the other side, you have to do that. Well, I just wanted to kind of go in the middle and just say, you know, this is what I found when I put all the information together on one table, when I used money and researchers, and we organized it all, this is what we found. Is everyone clear about what's been proven and what hasn't?
Now, there are a lot of heavy hitters who are trying to tackle just the same question that you were trying to do on your own. You've got people like Diane Ravitch, Arne Duncan, even Ron Paul, who has his own new education plan. Was it daunting for you to wade into those waters?
Yeah, you know, I think that they're the ones fighting the fight, all those people you mentioned. And so they have so many stakes in the fire, and they have so many positions, and they have so many years they put into different positions. You know, like if I said, you know, like, let's just say I was a strong advocate for reducing classroom size for 4 years. It would be very hard for me to hear the real information about classroom size and hear what's been proven and what hasn't. It's easier for an unbiased person to come in and say, this is the information. Now, are you taking actions from that information? Those guys know way more about how to do something in a classroom or anything like that. And that's what I wanted to stay out of was, I have no expertise in this genre. All I did was research and research and research, and said, did you know this? Do you know that these are the things that have been proven? And then when you look at the schools closing the gap, they're doing those same exact things. So it was very heartening for me, actually, the 4.5 years, because it was confirming that there was an answer. It's a very hard answer, but there's an answer, and it's being done.
Now, there are 5 keys that you identified as you visited these schools and talked to experts over 4.5 years. And we're going to hit pause for a moment and listen to the headlines. But can you give us the first one of these keys, and then we'll come back and get the rest?
You know, there's no kind of hierarchy to the ones that we found. This is ultimately what was found from the research. And I guess in a way, this was the kind of click thing that happened to me while I was doing it. At first, it all felt contradictory and jumbling. There were you know, reports where there were positives and then there was negatives, and I didn't understand how you could get to research papers that said that, you know, seemingly the opposite. And then when I looked at it from the paradigm of, and this came from a friend of mine who's a doctor, and he teaches his residents, who he supervises at University of Penn, that if they do kind of the simple 5 things of health together, meaning sleep 8 hours a day, have a balanced diet, work out 3 times a week, don't smoke, have a low-stress kind of work or mental environment, if you pay attention to your mental health, those 5 things, all your chances of having all diseases drops dramatically. Mm. But the key is you have to do them together. If you don't do one of them, if you do 4 of them and you smoke, your chances of getting diseases moves right back to the norm. And it drives to the norm, right back to equilibrium with the general population. And I went, oh my gosh, maybe that's why I'm getting false negatives and false positives. You know, this might explain things. So I went looking with that paradigm for the next few years. Are there a set of things, when they're done together, close the achievement gap? And it turns out there are. And that was kind of the breaking of the code moment that happened. And so you can't do any of them alone. So for example, one of the things we found in the research is that when principals, first of all, we found when they're great, the good principals have incredible impact on every classroom in the school. They can raise the achievement of every classroom in the school. So you can imagine how important this person is. And the research shows when that person is actually teaching the teachers, when they spend 80% of their time teaching teachers, by that I mean they're in classrooms, they're observing the teacher in math and saying, you know, you need to do this better. You know, acknowledge Sarah in the back of the class. Talk louder. Do this. Do that. You know, ask more questions. Whatever it is, all the best practices that they have found, when they're teaching the teachers 80% of the time, the teachers get better and they're supported and the system works. So now, let's just put that aside for a second. And you say that's one of the aspects we found in the research. But that can't happen in a giant school.
And we're going to stop there and come back and get the rest of that as we talk now with filmmaker M. Night Shyamalan. Besides filmmaking, as you heard, he's passionate about education and wrote a book about it called I Got Schooled.
I'd like to hear you think what you think about improving schools at 800-642-1234 or go to our Facebook page, Central Time on WPR. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation with filmmaker and writer M. Night Shyamalan. As a moonlighting movie guy, he got passionate about education and spent years talking to experts and visiting schools to find out what could help close the achievement gap in America. His new book is called I Got Schooled. And Night, you were in the middle of telling us about the five keys of education, how they have to work in tandem, and the role of principals in creating a culture where students learn and succeed. Tell us what's next.
You know, I was kind of touching on the fact that they have to be done together, and that was kind of the big epiphany for all of us when I was doing the research over the years, that there was a connection, that they all had to be done together, otherwise they would kind of have cancellation effects. So when we were talking about what a great principal does in the research, you know, they spend 80% of their time teaching teachers, and they create an incredibly strong culture in the school. They and it's uniform, the culture. Everyone buys in. The janitor, the secretary, everyone buys into the culture. And the students, when they walk through those doors, have to hear a culture that's stronger than the one that they're hearing when they walk outside the doors. And the one outside the doors is incredibly strong, right? That's the one that's saying, you're worthless, you're second-class citizens, this country doesn't love you, we built you, we don't believe you're the same as everybody else, all those things, you don't have opportunities, all the things that they're whispered constantly from where they live, from their environments, in their homes, everything, right?
People like that are rare, though. I mean, how do you get a principal like that in every school?
Well, see, that's the thing. When you do all of them, you don't have that rare principal. See, great principals don't have traits that are great. The research says that great principals do certain things. So it's not that you need when we're trying to do, for example, the whole set of the research that's found, the findings are to create a system that almost everyone can succeed in closing the gap, as opposed to the Michael Jordans, right? Just the Michael Jordan teacher, or what they refer to as Superman and Waiting for Superman, the great, you know, the Jeffrey Canadas, or somebody that's like extraordinary. You don't want to have a system that only relies on them as principals or as teachers. You want to have the great majority be able to succeed. And that's why doing all of the things that were found in the research together makes it doable for everyone to succeed, the great majority of teachers and principals to succeed. And that's the goal, obviously.
Okay, so you mentioned the principals. And what about the rest of the five?
Well, I was actually saying in conjunction with the principals, one of the tenants is actually small schools. Now, for example, like the Gates Foundation funded a lot of small schools and did that solely. And what they found is there wasn't a lot of, you know, great benefit to doing that. And that's going to be a false negative. The only thing you'll get if you just reduce class school size is higher graduation rates. And that in and of itself is a wonderful thing. But the reason that you put small school size is so the principal can do the things that he needs to do with such intensity and such personal aspect, creating a culture, teaching the teachers. There's only so many classrooms he can spend time in or she can spend time in, and it's only so many teachers he or she can work with one-on-one. That's what we found in the research, that once you tip past that tipping point, it's impossible to create that culture. It's impossible for the principals to have that kind of one-on-one kind of situation going on. And so you can see how a false positive and a false negative happens in the research. And again, the schools that are closing the gap are of a certain size and do have a certain type of principal activity behind them.
Okay, and what about things like adding more time in school?
You know what? You know the fascinating thing? There's no hierarchy to the things that we found. You know, like everyone's always hyped about, let's say, one of the tenants is removing what I refer to as roadblock teachers, the very, 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 very bottom percent of the teachers that are actually dragging the kids so much. And everyone gets so hyped about that, but that would not be, if you were only going to do one thing, like you said, I'm not going to do all five tenants, that's never going to happen, I'm only going to do one, that would not be the thing I would do first. In fact, that wouldn't be the thing I would do second or third or fourth. Now, this is my opinion, but from the research, adding extra time is the way to combat the education gap the fastest way. So you guys know what the summer slide is and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the summer slide is like when, like, say there's an African-American kid in the inner city in June of their second grade year and a white kid in suburban somewhere in America. Let's say they're at the same level in June, right? Just let's say when they come back in September, the inner city kid is 3 months behind where he was when he left in June. And the white suburban kid is 1 month ahead of where he was when he left in June. And that's from their home environments, their exposure in their neighborhoods, from their lack of stimulation, their lack of getting new things, whatever it is. It could be as blatant as going to museums or going on trips or hearing vocabulary or being introduced to different ideas. But those are the facts. And so that same kid, those two kids look like different kids in September. They're 4 months apart. And you just keep adding that and adding that and adding it, and you have your giant gap. And it seems like one group of kids can't learn and one group of kids can learn. And it's just not the case. And the schools that have closed the gap are using the extra time. They extend the school day and they extend the school year into the summer. There's a guy that we fund in Philly. His name is Alejandro, and he started a thing called Springboard Collaborative. And he does a five-week reading workshop in Philly now. He does about 800 kids. Those kids, astonishingly enough, get three-month gains. These are the same inner-city kids that are randomly chosen. Three-month gains in his five-week course. Now, you're hearing me right. That means that they are 6 months ahead of their inner-city peers, and they are 2 months ahead of their white suburban counterparts. So now there's a gap the other way. This isn't about the kids. This is about the environment that they're in.
Now, you make a compelling case. Are people listening to you? Or are they saying, yeah, I like this guy's films, but he's a filmmaker. Why should I listen to him?
Well, I have nothing to do with this. I haven't proven anything. Every single one of the things I just said has been proven by experts. So all I'm saying to the legislators or anybody that would say something like that, I go, I don't have an opinion. I think it's really cool when teachers are really fun and cool and hip and wear T-shirts and do that. I have no opinion. I'm an idiot.
But you are saying that we need to do the five steps in tandem. That seems to be the magic formula.
Yeah, all I'm saying is this. I'm saying the research says this. You don't have to do it. The research says this is how you stay healthy. The research says this is how you close the achievement gap. And then I say, and here are the 50 schools in the country that are doing it, and they're closing the gap. So it's not an opinion. The research isn't untested. It's being proven every single day in these schools. So you guys can do what you want. I just want everyone to be clear. If you smoke, you have a higher chance of getting sick. As long as everyone knows that, and then they choose to smoke, that's a different situation. I just want everyone to have I didn't have the information, and I just want everyone like me who is interested in education to have the correct information. And then I believe over time the right decisions will be made, and the ship will start turning in the right direction. Just like it takes a while, like the health model, it took a while, right? You know, when I was younger, the people that worked out were like Jack LaLanne. It was like crazy. And now you don't even look at an apartment unless there's a workout facility in the apartment, right? That's just standard now. And that's become a part of our lives, a normal part of our lives. But 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. And I believe, you know, hopefully the turn will be quicker. But knowledge is the first thing. Whether with the will to do what's been proven, that's another thing entirely.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about this today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That was filmmaker M. Night Shyamalan. His new book is called I Got Schooled.
Coming up next, our guest says the Environmental Protection Agency's limits on carbon emissions are bad for the American economy.
You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.